A look of great excitement suddenly dawned on Hermione's face.
"I've just realized. I haven't asked Hagrid to join SPEW yet," she said brightly. "Wait for me, will you, while I nip upstairs and get the badges."
"What's she like?" said Ron, exasperated, as Hermione ran away up the marble staircase. "Hey, Ron," said Harry suddenly, "it's your friend." The students from Beauxbatons were coming through the front doors from the grounds, among them the Vila girl. Those gathered around the Goblet of Fire stood back to let them pass, watching eagerly. Madame Maxime entered the hall behind her students and organized them into a line. One by one, the Beauxbatons students stepped across the age line and dropped their slips of parchment into the blue-white flames. As each name entered the fire, it turned briefly red and emitted sparks. "What do you reckon'll happen to the ones that aren't chosen?" Ron muttered to Harry, as the Vila girl dropped her parchment into the Goblet of Fire. "Reckon they'll go back to school, or hang around to watch the tournament?"
"Dunno," said Harry. "Hang around, I suppose. Madame Maxime's staying to judge, isn't she?"
When all the Beauxbatons students had submitted their names, Madame Maxime led them back out of the hall and into the grounds again. "Where are they sleeping, then?" said Ron, moving towards the front doors and staring after them. A loud rattling noise behind them announced Hermione's reappearance with the box of SPEW badges.
"Oh, good, hurry up," said Ron,
and he jumped down the stone steps, keeping his eyes on the back of the Vila girl, who was now halfway across the lawn with Madame Maxime. As they neared Hagrid's cabin on the edge of the Forbidden Forest, the mystery of the Beauxbatons' sleeping quarters was solved. The gigantic powder-blue carriage in which they had arrived had been parked 200 yards from Hagrid's front door, and the students were climbing back inside it. The elephantine flying horses that had pulled the carriage were now grazing in a makeshift paddock alongside it. Harry knocked on Hagrid's door, and Fang's booming barks answered instantly.
"'Bout time!" said Hagrid, when he'd flung open the door and seen who was knocking. "Thought you lot had forgotten where I live!"
"We've been really busy, Hag—"
Hermione started to say, but then she stopped dead, looking up at Hagrid, apparently lost for words. Hagrid was wearing his best, and very horrible, hairy brown suit, plus a checked yellow and orange tie. This wasn't the worst of it, though. He had evidently tried to tame his hair, using large quantities of what appeared to be axle grease. It was now slicked down into two bunches. Perhaps he had tried a ponytail like Bill's, but found he had too much hair. The look didn't really suit Hagrid at all. For a moment Hermione goggled at him, then, obviously deciding not to comment, she said,
"Where are the Scroots?"
"Out by the pumpkin patch," said Hagrid happily. "They're getting massive. Must be nearly 3 foot long now. Only trouble is, they've started killing each other."
"Oh, no, really?" said Hermione,
shooting a repressive look at Ron, who, staring at Hagrid's odd hairstyle, had just opened his mouth to say something about it.
"Yeah," said Hagrid sadly. "It's okay, though. I've got them in separate boxes now. Still got about 20.
"Well, that's lucky," said Ron. Hagrid missed the sarcasm. Hagrid's cabin comprised a single room, in one corner of which was a gigantic bed covered in a patchwork quilt. A similarly enormous wooden table and chairs stood in front of the fire, beneath the quantity of cured hams and dead birds hanging from the ceiling. They sat down at the table while Hagrid started to make tea, and were soon immersed in yet more discussion of the Tri-Wizard Tournament. Hagrid seemed quite as excited about it as they were.
"You wait," he said, grinning. "You just wait. You're going to see some stuff you've never seen before. First task. Ah, but I'm not supposed to say."
"Go on, Hagrid,"
Harry, Ron and Hermione urged him, but he just shook his head, grinning.
"I don't want to spoil it for you," said Hagrid, "but it's going to be spectacular, I'll tell you that. Them champions are going to have their work cut out. Never thought I'd live to see the Tri-Wizard Tournament played again."
They ended up having lunch with Hagrid, though they didn't eat much. Hagrid had made what he said was a beef casserole, but after Hermione unearthed a large talon in hers, she, Harry and Ron rather lost their appetites. They enjoyed themselves trying to make Hagrid tell them what the tasks in the tournament were going to be, however, speculating which of the entrants were likely to be selected as champions, and wondering whether Fred and George were beardless yet. A light rain had started to fall by mid-afternoon. It was very cosy sitting by the fire, listening to the gentle patter of the drops on the window, watching Hagrid darning his socks and arguing with Hermione about house-elves, for he flatly refused to join S.P.E.W. when she showed him her badges.
"It'd be doing them an unkindness, Hermione," he said gravely, threading a massive bone-needle with thick yellow yarn. "It's in their nature to look after humans. That's what they like, see? You'd be making them unhappy to take away their work and insulting them if you tried to pay them."
"But Harry set Dobby free, and he was over the moon about it," said Hermione. "And we heard he's asking for wages now."
"Yeah, well, you get weirdos in every breed. I'm not saying there isn't the odd elf who'd take freedom, but you'll never persuade most of them to do it. No, nothing doing, Hermione."
Hermione looked very cross indeed, and stuffed her box of badges back into her cloak pocket. By 5:30 it was growing dark, and Ron, Harry and Hermione decided it was time to get back up to the castle for the Halloween feast, and, more importantly, the announcement of the school champions.
"I'll come with you," said Hagrid, putting away his darning. "Just give us a sec."
Hagrid got up, went across to the chest of drawers beside his bed, and began searching for something inside it. They didn't pay too much attention until a truly horrible smell reached their nostrils. Coughing, Ron said,
"Hagrid, what's that?"
"Eh?" said Hagrid, turning around with a large bottle in his hand.
"Don't you like it?"
"Is that aftershave?" said Hermione, in a slightly choked voice.
"Eau de Cologne," Hagrid muttered. He was blushing. "Maybe it's a bit much," he said gruffly. "I'll go take it off. Hang on."
He stumped out of the cabin, and they saw him washing himself vigorously in the water barrel outside the window.
"Eau de Cologne?" said Hermione in amazement. "Hagrid?"
"And what's with the hair and the suit?" said Harry in an undertone.
"Look," said Ron suddenly, pointing out of the window.